You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Oakland Raiders podcast. Just part win. Of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your just team win. Every day.
Just win. Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? What's going down? Welcome into Friday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. It is Friday, January 18th, 2019, flying through the month of January, having a good time. Got a lot of good stuff we've been talking about during the offseason of the Raiders, and this is a very, very important offseason for the Raiders. I've said it multiple times, probably one of the most important drafts in the history of the Raiders, if not the most important draft in the history of the Raiders. So coming up on today's show, definitely going to have a big show. I told you on Thursday that I was going to have a Derek Carr interview, not a Derek Carr interview with myself, but my man Christopher Gabriel from 940 ESPN in Fresno. Many of you probably saw me on Twitter retweeting him because he did a heck of a job with the interview. I can't wait for you to hear it if you have not heard it already. He tweeted it out. I retweeted it. Derek Carr retweeted it. I mean, it was really, really good. My man CGP, he's a really good radio host in Fresno, California on 940 ESPN. Matter of fact, if you're on Twitter right now, you can follow him and give him a follow, and give, matter of fact, give the radio station a follow as well. But if you want to follow him at CG Program on Twitter and at 940 ESPN on Twitter, again, at CG Program and at 940 ESPN. Matter of fact, I was on CGP's show just last night. Thursday night, I was on his show just talking not divisional, but championship games for the NFL this weekend and my thoughts on it. Probably was on his show for a good 45 minutes. So a really good dude. He's been on my show. I've been on his show. Lots of good fun. You're going to hear that interview, Christopher Gabriel, a good 9 minutes, Christopher Gabriel and Derek Carr coming up in segment number two. It wouldn't be a good tease if I just threw it on in segment number one, right? It just wouldn't be good radio sense. And since I'm a radio guy, I got to make radio sense. That's got to come up in segment number two. I got to let you get through segment number one before you actually get to hear Derek Carr in segment number two. But I'll tell you right now, Raider Nation, it's well worth the wait. That's a really good interview. It's one of the better Derek Carr interviews. I know we're used to hearing like Derek Carr in press conferences and it's not that impressive. And we're like, oh yeah, ho-hum. You know, he's saying the company line, toting the company line. No, not in this interview. There's a lot of things Derek Carr says in this interview that if you really, really pay attention, and I encourage you to really pay attention, that you'll hear without him saying. That's all. I'll speak on it in segment number two, but that's coming up, something I definitely want you to look forward to, all right? Before I get into that, I got a call, a brand new listener, Austin T. from West Virginia. He says he's going to go by Hillbilly Raider, and I'll tell you right now, my dude is calling, and he called, I think, about 22 times on Thursday and left voicemail messages. About 20. And look, sometimes people will call back, like sometimes most known unknown, he'll call back, and it'll be a really good call, and it'll be 6 minutes. I think at one time we had a call that was like 11 minutes, but it was really, really, really good. Took up like all of segment number three or something. My man, Hillbilly Raider, he called, and no joke, he called about 20-something times. While I was doing my radio show on ESPN Central Texas, all I kept seeing on my email was another call, another call, another call. When I finally opened it up, I had like 28 calls, and I think 22 of them were from Hillbilly Raider. So I can't possibly play all of them. That would probably be like over an hour show because each call is like maximum 3 minutes. So if you do the math, 22 times three or 20 times three, that's 60 minutes right there. So I can't really play every single call, but I'm going to play one right now. I'm going to play one. It was probably like three or four calls, and it's all about Derek Carr. And why am I going to play this one? Because, well, Derek Carr is coming up in segment number two with my man Christopher Gabriel. So I'm going to tie it all together. So here is Hillbilly Raider from West Virginia. He's a first-time caller. He actually is a first-time finder of the podcast. He says in the call, and you'll hear it in just a few seconds, he hasn't been listening to the podcast very long, but he really already has caught up. So he's talking about a variety of subjects, Derek Carr, Kyler Murray, any other quarterback, Very lengthy call. It's really a good way to finish off segment number one, especially since, like I said, we're going into Derek Carr conversation and Derek Carr interview with Christopher Gabriel in segment number two. So right now, without further ado, Hillbilly Raider from West Virginia, a very lengthy call right here on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
Hey, how you doing, Q? I am a new listener. I just started listening this week, but I've already caught up on all the podcasts from this week and last. So the other new guy called in today as of January 17th. He really needs to catch up, like you said. But anyway, my name is Austin T. I am from Huntington, West Virginia. My username is usually Italian T, but for the sake of Raider Nation, since I'm from West Virginia, how about we do Hillbilly Raider for me? I think that sounds pretty clever. I don't know. But anyway, this is probably going to be a little long because I have a lot of built-up stuff because I don't have many Raider fans in my area. But I've gone to many games, the last 3 years, every time they were on the East Coast, mostly when they played the Titans. I went down to Nashville 2 years in a row. But then anytime they're on the East Coast, I usually will drive and watch them play in person. So I am an actual Raider fan, even if I am in West Virginia. So do not hate on me. Thank you. But, anyway, as far as the topic of Derek Carr and the quarterback, hopefully this can just put it all to rest because honestly I'm getting tired of people calling in and talking about it. I don't think it's even a real conversation. There's not anyone to replace Carr. There's no point to replace Carr. And I'm going to go ahead and lay it down. So as far as there's been a caller who said he had very good points about scrambling quarterbacks and how the quarterbacks who won the previous Super Bowls for the last decade, which has mostly been Tom Brady, obviously, weren't scrambling quarterbacks. They didn't even have that in their skill bag. That is very true. I completely agree. Carr can run, though. He's actually quite athletic. He just needs to just keep improving overall. So I don't see a point in the whole Kyler Murray thing. When I saw some BS website say that we're most likely to draft him at 4, I literally wanted to just throw the laptop and destroy everything because that would be the biggest mistake in the history other than Jamarcus Russell, which we all know about. I don't see a point in drafting a quarterback. If we want to, okay, draft a mid-round, I think, if anything. But, you know, I say keep AJ as a backup. I think he's been very serviceable before. I think he didn't get a fair shot with the Bills because he got injured. But AJ would be a hell of a backup if we can keep him, because I think he's actually a solid backup quarterback. he even has playoff experience, more than Carr. So I say just keep AJ as a backup. As far as Carr goes, and honestly as far as the conversation of Carr, I'm actually really surprised at Raider Nation. There hasn't been too many callers that want to give it up on him, but the fact that there's not more callers that are just more solid around keeping him, he's been – the fact that Raider Nation isn't more behind Carr, he's been a leader since he came in as a rookie. Him and Mac kind of became that leading foundation, and they were young. I mean, they were young. They took it over. They've been a leader. He's an amazing person off the field, and he's a great leader, I think, on the field. And I think, if anything, if they can get a core, another core built around him, he can lead them too. Gruden seems to love him. I don't think he'll be going anywhere. If he does, I think it's a huge mistake. As far as backing up the stats, this was the first season he threw for 4,000 yards, if I'm not mistaken. I looked up the stats, and this has actually been his best season since the season he was in MVP conversation when they had Bill Musgraves. And to be honest, he also just got another rant. I'm still mad that they got rid of Bill Musgraves because Carr had never looked better. He never performed better, and our offense was clicking. If anything, Del Rio shouldn't have fired him. We all know we should have fired our defensive coordinator at the time, but I would have fired Del Rio and just promoted Musgraves because obviously that's what everyone does anyway now to solidify the quarterback position. But Bill Musgraves was great, and I was very distraught when they got rid of him, and I think he's still awesome. But instead we brought back, we all know who, for the offensive coordinator, Greg Olsen, which Carr did have success with him too. It didn't exactly show this year right away, obviously, with all the interceptions. But then he went on the interceptionless streak up until the end of the season. And I think that's when Carr was really getting a really good grasp on it. So I have no reason to doubt Carr. If anything, he'll just keep getting better with this. Considering he threw and was having great games with literally no receivers towards the end of the season, What do you think is going to happen when he actually has receivers again? And not to mention, as far as the tight end position, either keep Cook or bring in someone else, but he relied heavily on Cook, not to mention the amount of yards Cook was getting. And if we see all the tight ends that keep coming up, Greg Kittle now had a breakout season, and he was their number one option. So, you know, I think we should try and get Cook back, but if he's too expensive, then there's going to be a deep tight end draft this year around. But as far as the money situation with Carr, I don't think that's even anything to hold a candle to the argument either, because quarterbacks are going to cost what they're going to cost because they're hard to come by. So I'm not sure why the money situation's even irrelevant to the conversation. Yeah, would we all like a quarterback that's as great as Carson Wentz, even though that's a whole different topic? But as great as Carson Wentz on a rookie contract, or even Carr on his rookie contract, yeah, everyone's going to want the money situation is purely ignorant. There's no point to even bringing it up. Cousins, Kirk Cousins, Carr is definitely better than Kirk Cousins. Carr, in my opinion, is better than Stafford. They both get paid, if not a little more, if I'm not mistaken, than Carr. I don't think they deserve it. Case Keenum gets $18 million, which is $7 million less than Carr per year. But I think Carr is $7 million better and age-wise and worth it compared to Keenum. So the money thing, I think, is just pointless to even keep bringing up. So I say we drop that as part of the argument. As far as how good he is, I think he's a top 10 quarterback in the league. Everyone wants to hate on it because, yeah, we didn't win this year. But, I mean, the dude put up stats. He was 12th this year in passing yards altogether compared to everyone in the league. And, like I said, once again, that's getting rid of our top receiver. Jordy Nelson didn't have a good year whatsoever. Pretty much all we had was Cook and our running backs. So I think Carr did amazing with not having receivers passing 4,000 yards. Yeah, he had more interceptions, less touchdowns, all that, yada, yada, but he's learning a new system. I think he got a grasp on it midway, and I think he'll just keep getting better with it. So the whole Carr dilemma or topic, whatever, I wish it would just get dropped. I'm getting sick of hearing people's arguments on it. No offense to Radio Nation. Everyone's opinion matters. But opinions can be wrong, I think, and I feel like that is. Carr is going to be our quarterback. There's no reason to try and bring in someone else to learn the system. Or even, you know, it takes time for quarterbacks to develop. They can have breakout years or rookie years, but then they have that sophomore slump. Exhibit A, Prescott. And a lot of people want to say, you know, Prescott's this and that. I mean, the dude gets it done. I would still take Carr over him. I think Carr's a better passer. The only thing I think Carr needs to improve on is his delivery in the pocket. He likes to do this floater. And if I remember the first game against the Rams, he did this pointless floater pass where the receiver quit running anyway, and then it was easily intercepted. I don't know why he floats the ball so much. Yeah, it looks pretty up in the air spiraling, but I wish he would beam it more. But, you know, quit doing these lobs when it's not, you know, first and goal. But anyway, I think the Carr topic is dead. I think it should be settled. He's our quarterback. No need to draft a quarterback. There's not even a quarterback good enough to draft, in my opinion. I wouldn't take any of the quarterbacks coming out this year or all week.
All right, great stuff right there. Hillbilly Raider from West Virginia. Thank you for being a first-time caller. Called about 20-something times, and I apologize for not being able to play every one of the calls. I did get a lot of the good stuff in there, and I definitely appreciate it. And do not hesitate to continue to call 707-654-4693. So coming up next, Hillbilly Raider's call was all about Derek Carr. Let's hear from QB1 for the Raiders. Very good interview with my guy Christopher Gabriel from 940 ESPN in Fresno. Derek Carr, Christopher Gabriel, it's all up next on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are, segment number two of the Locked On Raiders podcast on this Friday, January 18th, 2019. Your boy Q, you can always find me on Twitter at your boy Q254. Appreciate the follows, appreciate the interaction. It is all good. And now I've been teasing it for a while. Matter of fact, I've been teasing it since, I think, Thursday. Derek Carr, Raiders starting quarterback with Christopher Gabriel, 940 ESPN Radio in Fresno. You can follow my man Christopher Gabriel on Twitter at CG Program, and of course his radio station at 940 ESPN. Make sure you give both a follow. Christopher Gabriel, really good dude, really good friend of mine, was courteous and kind enough to give me this interview so I can play it for you on the Locked On Raider podcast. Here's Derek Carr. Here's Christopher Gabriel. 9 good minutes of good stuff with quarterback one of the Raiders, and again, the CGP.
Let's start with this. You have first-round draft picks at 4, 24, and 27. If Derek Carr was sitting in the Raiders draft room, and maybe you will be, what's your wish list, Derek?
Yeah, you know, maybe someday I'll be sitting in the draft room. we'll see. We need some guys that can come in and help us now. We have some good building pieces. We have some foundational pieces. Obviously we have a quarterback, so we don't need one of those. That's a good thing. And we just need some players that can come in and help us now. We want to win now. We're building this thing. We've been building this thing. We've built this thing a couple of times. I think it's time to get some people that can just come in and help us now. There's a lot of veterans on this team that, signed contracts or signed extensions or signed free agent deals to come play here because we want to win now and believe in this system, and we believe in what we're doing. And I think if we get three players that are ready to play NFL ready now. And I think if you can do that, get three starters out of those three picks, and even four starters if you count some of the other picks, if you can get that, some impact players, and then we have a lot of cash to spend. We got a lot of cap room, and so I think if we can spend that cap and spend that capital to get some good talent, some good veteran players that just aren't just average players, but some guys that can come in and make a difference, we're a lot closer than people give us credit for.
How frustrating was it for you, Derek, to see Amari Cooper leave and then do so well with the Cowboys?
I wasn't frustrated. I was happy for him.
Okay.
He started, playing at a high level. And, like I said 100 times before, and I'll say it again, I think Amari is a Hall of Fame player. I've always said, as long as he continues to work and keeps working and works his tail off, he's a Hall of Fame type talent. And so some of the things that happened here, he got traded, I don't make those decisions, but they saw something in him that they said, hey, we're going to trade him and things like that. And then he went and had a fantastic year, and I still talk to Coop. Coop's one of my friends. Coop is someone that I'd have to my house, and he would come and play basketball. And so Coop and I are friends. There's no problem there. We had a great time. He went to first couple Pro Bowls, whatever it was, here playing with me, and we had some good memories, and then we had some hard times, I think Coop will be the first one to not tell you because he doesn't talk much, but he was playing hurt, a lot, he was banged up, and it looks like he finally got healthy. He was finishing all his routes. He was playing hard, without the ball in his hands, and those are the kind of things that if he continues to do those, man, he's going to have a Hall of Fame career.
My guest is Derek Carr, quarterback of the Oakland Raiders. A couple more minutes with Derek, and then we'll give you all the details again of the event inside the huddle up at Valley Children's. John Gruden, he, like every coach, he has a system. Takes a while to learn that system for everybody to get on the same page and then to execute it for the best possible results. Derek, how long was it before you personally felt comfortable working within his system? And second part of that is, how much more explosive do you believe this offense under your direction can be?
Oh man. That's a great question with a very big answer. I mean, first it took me months to, master his system, and he would tell everybody I mastered it before he did. That guy, he likes to give me a lot of credit, but he's a very smart coach, and I'm grateful and thankful that he came back to coach me, and that I get to have the same coach for 2 years in a row. That's kind of nice. And he's a genius, offensive genius. He's a guy that loves working with veteran players. He loves coaching us hard and having our backs at the same time. And under Coach Gruden last year, I mean, nobody wants to talk about it, but we did some things on offense that have never been done. We did some things that I've never done in my career. I think I had career high in, in yards per attempt, yards, completion percentage, a whole bunch of different things, passes over 20 yards and passes over 40 yards, even though we checked the ball down, quote unquote, a lot. we broke some career highs that even in the 2016 season we didn't even do. So we're right back where we need to be, throwing the ball obviously we're going to continue to get even better, because that's only 1 year in a system. That's not even 12 months. And so now that we have a full year under our belt, we'll have two full off seasons together. I really believe that we can do some special things together.
What do you see, Derek, as a benefit with Mike Mayock as GM now in the Raiders system?
Oh man, you know, Mike is such a great guy. He called me, you know, we had a great conversation for about 20 minutes. I think it was 15, 20 minutes or whatever. And, I'll be meeting, you know, getting together with him soon and doing some more stuff. But, you know, whenever we can do that, time allowed wise. And, you know, we talked on the phone, and, you know, he's such a great guy. First of all, he's an amazing guy to talk to. You know, he's very smart. He knows what he's doing. And just with him in the building, I mean, he's going to grind on tape and on film till all hours of the night. And that's all you can ask for, man, is someone that just grinds, someone that just works hard. You know, people can say whatever they want, but they can't question how hard that man works. So anyone who knows him and has been around him, you know, at the NFL Network or things like that, knows that this man grinds and cares a lot about evaluating and, finding talent. So I think he's going to help us a lot, to be honest with you.
Derek, you came out and you put a plug in for one final year for games being played at Fresno State. I will be very transparent with you, and I said that I don't see that happening. But with 1 year to go before the move to Las Vegas, where do you realistically believe that the team is going to play their games in 2019?
Oh, man, that is a tough question. I don't have a guess on realistically where I think we're going to play. Where I hope we play is Fresno.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Come play at Bulldog Stadium. We got enough seats. We got more seats than the StubHub Center. We got suites. We got a field. We got a nice field turf. They don't have to do the fields over all the time. You know, we got some nice stuff. We got enough stuff to, you know, house an NFL team, that's for sure, in Fresno. But, you know, I honestly, I hope it's one more year in Oakland. You know, I've heard San Francisco, you know, anywhere in the Bay Area is up for grabs, you know, because you don't want to, you know, relocate the team 2 years in a row. And so right. Anywhere in the Bay, I would assume, is up for grabs. But my hope, you know, if I can't have Fresno, is definitely to be at the Coliseum again, because we need to give our fans one more ride.
Last thing for you, going back to 2014. These are the records of the Oakland Raiders from 2014 on. 3-13, 7-9, and then a great season in 2016, 12-4, 6-10, and this past year, 4-12. In that time, you've thrown for nearly 19,000 yards. You've certainly done quite a bit. You've been nicked up here and there. What is it that you believe is going to be able to turn this franchise around? If there was one singular thing, that's redundant, that can turn this franchise around to being more like 2016, what is it, Derek?
Ooh, winning. Yeah. The simple answer is winning. You know, I think it's just consistency. You know, every position, every coach, every scout, you know, every staff member, just consistency every day. You know, we have to be the same people every day. You know, you can't flash here and then, you know, not show up for us one day, you know, in week 4 or week 12. You know, we got to just have the same guy all the time. And we know not everyone's perfect, but if we can just have consistency, you know, there's no doubt that we're going to be just fine. You know, we have the right coaching staff. Obviously, we dealt with a lot of injuries, you know, on our team, offensive line, receivers, running backs. We missed a lot of pieces. And we were still efficient. We were still able to play good football here and there, and we were still able to do some things. So if we can get even our group to just play more consistent, and it starts with me, we're going to be a pretty good football team.
All right, good stuff right there, man. Good stuff. I know I was teasing it and hyping it for a while, but that was Derek Carr and my guy, Christopher Gabriel, 940 ESPN Fresno. And I'm going to say, man, Derek Carr had a lot to say without saying a lot, if you know what I mean. He was more open, in my opinion, and loose than I've heard from him in a long time. Was very blunt about a lot of things. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that was one of the best interviews I've heard with Derek Carr. So hats off to my guy, CGP, at CG Program on Twitter. If you want to call and give your thoughts on that interview, give your thoughts on what he had to say. He had some interesting stuff to say about Amari Cooper. He had some really good things to say about John Gruden and just some glowing reviews on a lot of different things, man, and really a positive attitude. And I know we talk about Derek Carr and his positivity, and sometimes a lot of Raider fans feel like it's just fake and forced and he's just throwing it out there. from what it sounded like, man, Derek Carr really is locked in on being the dude that he is and being a starting quarterback and being an absolute winner for the Oakland Raiders. And again, man, there was some stuff in there that I heard and just kind of made me, you know, my ears perk up. Like, okay, I hear you without saying certain things. And I'll just point out one thing real quick. For example, he was talking about Amari Cooper when CGP asked him about it. And he said, no, you know, hey, Amari Cooper's out there. He's healthy. He's finishing his routes. Meaning, Amari Cooper wasn't always finishing his routes. And that goes back to that game in Miami when he gave up on his route. Derek Carr threw the ball deep. And, well, it got picked off by Xavier Howard. That's just one example of almost like one of those hidden messages that Derek Carr just said. If you didn't catch that, go back and rewind it. You can like DJs do. DJ, play that back. Just rewind it real quick. It's all good. It ain't going nowhere. It's a podcast. Rewind it. Listen to it again. Derek Carr had a lot of hidden messages. Not really hidden messages, but just things that he said without really saying it. Sometimes you can send a message without really sending it directly and saying, Amari Cooper, you didn't run your routes. You weren't healthy when you were a Raider. You gave up. You quit. You know what I'm saying? There was things that he said. Consistency. He talked about consistency. There's a lot of things he can say. I could break down that whole damn interview, but I'm not going to, but I would love to hear your thoughts on it, on what you think. 707-654-4693, 707-654-4693. And speaking of that number, I got more calls coming up off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. That's coming up in segment number 3 right here on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome back, Raider Nation, to the Locked On Raiders podcast, segment number 3 on Friday, January 18, 2019, the last episode of the week. And please believe I got a lot of calls that I want to get to off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. I'm not going to be able to get them all in. Simple as that. I'm not going to be able to get all the calls that we have, so some are going to have to carry over to Monday, but it is all good, man. The offseason never ends. Well, it does end when the offseason's over, but we got plenty of time in this offseason, so you can keep those calls coming, and I will get them in. Please believe that. 707-654-4693. That is the number to hit me up at, so let's get this thing started. Most known unknown. Here's a pretty lengthy call from my guy, most known unknown from Philly. He's responding to Akeem in Oakland, but not about Derek Carr this time. No, that conversation, I feel like it's kind of been put on the back burner. Now he's calling about what Akeem said the other day about asking most known unknown from Philly how he became a Raiders fan. This is really good stuff right here.
Yo, Q, most known unknown, podcast was fire as usual. I'm calling in response to Akeem in Oakland's question. He was questioning, just being curious about how growing up and being raised, born and raised in Philly, how I became a Raiders fan. And it really all boils down to, I'm gonna make it as short and condensed as possible. I mean, growing up in the 80s as a young boy, maybe 8, 9 years old, 10 years old, I had the Tecmo Bowl era that kind of overlapped with the NWA era, and they both had a huge influence on me. Anybody who's played Tecmo Bowl for Nintendo, if you're that old, understands that Bo Jackson's probably the most unstoppable force on any sports game ever created on Tecmo Bowl. And the combination of me playing Tecmo Bowl, I liked football, but I wasn't super into football. So, you know, playing Tecmo Bowl and then having an uncle who's a pretty well-known DJ, I'm going to just leave it at that. And, you know, always being around him playing hip-hop music, listening to NWA, and then when music videos came out, I don't know if you guys remember the box back in the day, they used to show music videos, watching NWA videos, and, I mean, it just all came together. NWA was rocking the Raiders gear, and then you got Bo Jackson and Marcus Allen and all those guys, man. And I then, you know, as I started to get more and more into football, paying attention to the Raiders, they kind of became my adopted team. And I just started liking them, the silver and black. They had Al Davis that wore the track suits and the glasses. I just thought they were the coolest team. And then as I became older and more mature, understood more facets of the game, started to learn more about Al Davis and all the barriers he broke down, things he did during like the civil rights movement, not letting his players play in hotels where there was segregation and all that, being the first owner to draft guys from historically black colleges. I just thought it was just a renegade team, a renegade owner. I mean, you had NWA repping them. They had a big influence out in Philly, too, because Back in the day, you used to wear sports apparel not because that was your team, because it looked good with your gear. So there's a lot of people wearing Raiders starter jackets just because they liked the silver and black and it went good with their sneakers or whatever. I remember I had the silver and black Bo Jacksons, and I mean, it just all came together. And again, as I became more mature, started to understand the sport, I just gravitated to them more. And that was pretty rare growing up in the middle of Eagle country. I was raised by a Cowboys fan, so my disdain for the Philadelphia Eagles was from the womb, pretty much. That's probably the only team I hate more than the Broncos and the Chiefs are the Eagles. Broncos and the Chiefs play the Eagles, I actually root for the Broncos and the Chiefs. That's just, I hate the Chiefs and the Broncos. Don't get me wrong. But that's just my disdain for the Eagles. So, you know, I'm out here on the East Coast repping hard for the Raiders. I kept a lot of flack for it because I don't know if it's a Philly thing. I don't know what's the fact that they were embittered for the 52 years prior to them actually finally winning the Super Bowl. But they had this thing where it's like, how dare you be born and raised in Philly and not root for the Eagles? And my stance is this, man. If you identify with a team for whatever reason why you identify with them for, and you choose that to be your team, that's fine. The only violation of sports fandom is being a front runner, a bandwagon jumper. Other than that, you could like any team from any city as long as you have a specific reason for identifying them. And I had mine. And I used to call the radio shows out here in Philly and defend my stance as being a Raiders fan. Look, I was a young boy. I identified with the Raiders. That's been my team ever since I was, 8, 9, 10 years old. And that's how it is. If you don't like it, oh, well. Because these Eagles fans out here, all of a sudden, because the Eagles finally won the Super Bowl after half a century, they think they're the authority on all things sports. So I'm out here in the trenches repping Raider Nation, going battle back and forth with these clowns because they're the most putrid, toxic, self-entitled, obnoxious fan base. And last year, Christmas night, I was up in the stands in Lincoln Financial Field going back and forth with my white Khalil Mack jersey on, rest in peace. Going back and forth with them Eagles fans on that Monday night game, even though we lost, I was defending my stance as a Raiders fan and repping hard. So that's how it's going to be on the East Coast, and that's a lot of Raiders fans out here on the East Coast that was born and raised on the East Coast. That's why we the only nation, baby. I had a number of guys that I ran into in my lifetime that were diehard Raiders fans, are diehard Raiders fans, born and raised on the East Coast. So we out here repping hard. I just wanted to give you a little bit of my backstory and how I'm fighting against these Eagles fans daily, just like y'all here fighting against Chiefs and 49ers fans. So keep up the hard fight. I hate the Eagles. I hate the Chiefs. I hate the Broncos. And we're going to ride against them all day. Raider Nation.
Awesome call. Most known unknown repping Philly, man. Definitely appreciate you. And, hey, man, I don't care how you became a Raider fan. I'm just glad that you are a Raider fan. You know what I'm saying? Because the Raider Nation is the only nation. That is all that matters. So the next call today on the Locked On Raiders podcast is from my man WAP. He's calling talking about Kyler Murray and giving his thoughts on him as a potential NFL quarterback, let alone a Raider. WAP has some good stuff here. I'm glad to hear him calling back again. Here's WAP.
Hey, Q, it's WAP again. Hey, so I get it. Kyler Murray is a really crazy athletic dude. He's got all the gifts and the talents, and that stuff is great. But you don't know if that's going to process well into the NFL. Guy is about as tall as Muggsy Bogues. For a quarterback, that's really not that good. I mean, look at Russell Wilson. He was getting all kinds of his passes batted down. It's not a good idea to hire a quarterback that's really small like that. But anyways, yeah, he has a lot of plus and a lot of could be good attributes that could help this team. They're going to have a lot of money, and I'd rather them go after a free agent, get a veteran quarterback as a backup, get someone that knows how to make things happen. I don't want to just trust all of my season on an unproven quarterback. Yeah, maybe he sits behind Derek Carr for years and learns and everything is gravy. That'll be great. But we can get a defensive player. There's more needs on this team than another quarterback. Let's get rid of Terry Collins 2.0 and Peterman and get someone solid. I'd rather have EJ Manuel as a backup quarterback than Nate Peterman. So that's just my thing. I'm not I mean, yeah, guy looks great. He looks awesome. Kyler Murray, all right. Just not interested in wasting a draft pick, especially right now. We need to nail this stuff immediately. And another quarterback is not going to help when we have a shitty offensive line. That's my opinion. Wop out.
Good stuff, Wop. Appreciate you, my man. Sean in Salt Lake City, he's calling in response to Hakeem in Oakland's call about becoming a Raiders fan, how he became a Raider fan. And Sean has a pretty good story on how it came about. Here's my man, Sean, in Salt Lake City.
Hey, what, Raider Nation? It's Sean from Salt Lake again. I'm just calling in response to Hakeem in Oakland's call about how we became Raider fans. I think it's kind of a cool question, and I hope more people will call and answer about it. Mine's kind of a weird story. I grew up just kind of idolizing my cousins. They were just, I mean, living here in Utah, as I said in my last call, it's kind of like the melting pot when it comes to sports teams, because all we really have are University of Utah Utes as well as Utah Jazz. And not being a big basketball fan that I am, I just can't really get that much into the NBA. But I love football, and I love the Utes. I go to 4 to 5 games a year. I can't go to all of them. But when I was younger and about, gosh, I want to say I was probably seven or eight, my whole family's Tennessee Titans fans. I have a lot of family from Tennessee and from that area. And so then there was the Eagles, because I grew up an Allen Iverson fan. And so I just kind of figured out what team I wanted to be. But my cousins like the Raiders for some reason. Remember one time we were all hanging out and they held the Raiders stuff on. I'm like, oh, that'd be kind of cool. And then I just would watch a couple games. One of the most vivid games I remember, of course, is the Chuck Rhule game. I just remember after just bawling my eyes out, not even knowing why I was crying. I just was sad they lost. Then the following year, I didn't get much into football until it was like an early December game versus the Jets when Tim Brown caught that 100th catch, and my stepfather let me know who that guy was. My stepfather lived in Indiana for a couple of years and was a big Notre Dame fan, and so I adapted that team, and I still love the Irish to this day. So RIP this season for him. Anyways, and so he told me who Tim Brown was, and from then on I was just hooked. Kept watching that season, and then sure enough, that same year, they end up beating Titans in the AFC Championship, won the Super Bowl, and again, then they're losing. And from then on, I just call it like the curse of the Black Pearl, calling it Pirates of the Caribbean. Once you're a Raider fan, dude, it's so hard to get off. And I'm just grateful to be on it. So that's kind of how I became a fan. It's just kind of stuck, and I've always just, ever since then, like I think I can maybe think of 3 or 4 games I haven't watched, whether it be illegally streaming, whether it be watching them actually on TV, or the handful the past couple of years I've been able to afford myself, being old enough to pay for my own things, to be able to go to a game once a year. I think one of the greatest memories I have actually came this year. Though it was a really crappy season, I was able to take my wife to her first NFL game. We went down to Arizona and watched them win, and it was pretty cool to see Raider Nation come out in Arizona, just to see the love for the team, even though we were just not that good at all. I don't know. I love the team. I love the Raiders. I know we all do too. Again, Q, like everyone says in their calls, they just enjoy and really are grateful for this podcast, and I am as well. Like Hakeem said, I look forward to this every day. I drove into work late this morning, and I just got the update this is on. So I literally pulled over just to listen to it. Anyway, Raider Nation, I enjoy this. Enjoy the rest of your week. Get ready for the weekend and get ready for the offseason. It's going to be a good one. See ya.
Good stuff right there, Sean in Salt Lake City. I'm going to tell you, like I told Most Known Unknown, and I'll tell any Raider fan, I don't give a damn how you became a Raider fan. I'm just glad that you're a Raider fan, because the Raider Nation is strong. The best fan base in sports. Not in football, but the best fan base in sports. I don't care. You can go tell someone that I said it. You know, go run and tell them that your boy Q said Raider Nation is the best fan base in sports. That's right. If I need some backup, which I don't, but if I did, I know my man Vader Raider in the 303. He's got my back. But right now, let's get to the next call right here. I don't want to waste any more time. Daniel in Waco, Texas. He's like my brother, man. We out here in Central Texas together. That's awesome. He's calling about something different because he hears me on ESPN Central Texas. He's calling about Sean Lee, the linebacker from the Cowboys, how he could affect the Raiders. He's also talking about potential free agents, pass rushers. You know, he gives a few suggestions on who he'd like to see in the silver and black, but wants to know my thoughts on a couple Cowboys. You'll hear it right now. Here's Daniel in Waco, Texas.
Hello, Q. This is Daniel from Waco, Texas, your friendly neighborhood Raider. Well, last time I called in, I talked about my support for Derek Carr. I also talked about the running back position and how I'd like to see us go after Leonard Fournette or even Tevin Coleman. But today, since I'm a listener to ESPN Central Texas, I have a question for you involving the Cowboys and how that how they could potentially help the Raiders. This offseason, they're probably going to be letting go of Cole Beasley as well as Sean Lee. So I think about both of those players and how they pertain to the Raiders. And so I'd love to hear your take, since you're from Central Texas like me and hear a lot about the Cowboys. What's your thoughts on the Raiders taking Cole Beasley as that slot wide receiver? And more importantly, I'd like to see your thoughts on Sean Lee, even though he is often injured. Whenever he's playing and whenever he's healthy, there's few middle linebackers that are better than him. The second point that I want to talk about today is the linebackers, actually. I think that we need to get one of those roaming middle linebackers, and I think that free agency this year is a good place for us to look. C.J. Mosley, I've heard a lot about. People, callers into the show have mentioned C.J. Mosley a couple times. He would be my number one pick in free agency if we can get him. Sean Lee would actually be my second. And kind of an outside viewer or somebody that people aren't really talking about, but I personally really like, is Jake Ryan, who was with the Green Bay Packers. He had an ACL injury, but if he's healthy, he was one of those players that I was hoping the Raiders were going to snag in that draft that he was in. He's only been in the league for about 3 years. But if we don't pick up C.J. Mosley, we don't get Sean Lee or even Jake Ryan, I'd love to see us use one of those early draft picks on a middle linebacker. Now, with that said, the other position of need is outside linebacker as well. Now, if you look at free agency, I don't think there's anybody that would disagree that players like Jadeveon Clowney or Anthony Barr, K.J. Wright, or even D. Ford, Thomas Davis from Carolina, or even Shane Ray or Terrell Suggs or Brian Arakpo, all of those would be upgrades from what we had last year. But if I had my pick of all of those, I really like Anthony Barr. Anthony Barr is very fast, and I remember he was in that same draft as where we got Derek Carr and Khalil Mack. And after that first rookie year, people were talking about, was Anthony Barr the best player, the best defensive player? Of course, there was Aaron Donald as well as Khalil Mack. But there were people even saying at that point, maybe Anthony Barr was one of the steals. So I just wanted to sum up the last comment there. Anthony Barr was thought to be one of the best defensive players in that same draft with Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald. And so I'd love to see us pick him up. I think Jadeveon Clowney is going to go for a high contract, but I think we might be able to snag somebody like Anthony Barr or even D. Ford or even Brian Arakpo. I think he's one of those players that might be a little older but could still contribute. But, again, my pick is going to be Anthony Barr. All right, Q, I appreciate it, and keep up the good work. Your friendly neighborhood Raider Daniel from Waco, Texas. Signing out.
All right, so there was Daniel in Waco, Texas. And Daniel, man, you're going to have to hit your boy up, man. If you in Waco, you need to holler at your boy, and we can go have a beer. You know, on Thirsty Thursday, I hold it down at Walk-Ons, getting there about 3 o'clock, 3:15. I'm always there with John Smith and company. I'm just going to throw their names out there. We're at the bar. That's on Thursdays. And at Fridays, we're at Bubba's. Just going to say it. We're in the front bar. So, Daniel, if you're riding around Waco, meet us at Bubba's on Friday. Well, later today, I mean, or whenever you listen to this. Anyway, I'm not trying to make no personal plans on the podcast, but I kind of am. Anyway, he wants to know my thoughts on Cole Beasley as a potential slot guy. Obviously, Cole Beasley did some big things with the Cowboys a couple seasons ago, and then the last couple seasons kind of just been like, whatever. I think that John Gruden would really like him. That's the reason why I thought John Gruden was going to like Ryan Switzer. I was excited when Ryan Switzer was traded, when they traded him on draft day and got him from the Cowboys, because I thought he could be Cole Beasley 2.0. And then evidently he wasn't working out, or the Pittsburgh Steelers really wanted him because they went and made a move, and Ryan Switzer ended up in Pittsburgh. Cole Beasley, I think, would be a hell of a slot receiver if John Gruden wanted to add him into the fold. I would not have a problem with that. I'm not a big Cole Beasley fan, but I know what he can do, if that makes any sense. I mean, there's just certain guys that you're not big fans of, but you know the dude could play. Cole Beasley could play. Dak Prescott's rookie year, Cole Beasley was the leading receiver for the Cowboys, which that should never happen when you're a slot receiver and you're that dude. You know what I mean? Like, they had weapons. That he shouldn't have been the leading receiver, but he was, because he was a security blanket. Derek Carr could use a security blanket. I would have no problem seeing Cole Beasley, especially if they can get him in at a decent price. I think he's out of Dallas. I've been saying it for a while that I think he's gone. Other people think I'm crazy that the Cowboys are going to get him back. I don't think so. Sean Lee, I'm just staying away. Like, buyer beware, just because he's never healthy. He's never stayed healthy for a whole season in his NFL career. I get it. The talent is there. But why do what the Cowboys did for years until they found Leighton Van Der Esch and Jalen Smith became healthy? Why depend on a dude that you know is uber talented but never can stay healthy and just say, well, if he can stay healthy, he'll be a hell of a player? I don't think you should go down that route. I understand why you would think about it, because clearly he's taking a backstage now to Leighton Van Der Esch, who is a stud, and Jalen Smith is like unbelievable. And that guy, I don't know how he's like a miracle. He's absolutely a miracle, and that's fine. Hey, more power to him. He's out there doing his thing. That's a guy you can't help but to root for. He's a good dude, and he's battled back through injury, and he's out there playing at a very high level, so you can't get mad at that. But I would say no to Lee. I absolutely would say no to Lee. I think the Raiders have some linebackers on their roster that at least you know that they're pretty much going to be healthy and they're going to be out there. I think the Raiders need to go draft a big-time stud, a Roquan Smith-type guy that obviously they didn't get in this draft, because in 2018's draft, because the Bears got him at number 8 overall. But that was a guy that I was really high on. Roquan Smith, sideline to sideline. He's a thumper. He's a guy who can go out back in coverage, drop back in coverage if he has to. He is a hell of a player. That's what the Raiders need. They need a big-time linebacker that they can say is theirs. When was the last time they had an absolute monster as a linebacker? They need that stud. They need that sideline to sideline guy, that 2018, 2019 type linebacker. There is a lot in this draft. I'm not going to say a lot, but there's some quality in this draft. They can go get him, but they can't wait till the fifth round to draft a linebacker like they've been doing. So I say no to Lee, Daniel, if that's the question, which I know it is. And Beasley, I'd be all for that. I'd be okay with Beasley being a slot receiver for the Raiders if you can get him at a reasonable price. I don't want to overpay for him. And you know, free agency is normally, well, is normally overpayment. But Daniel, appreciate the call. Again, walk-ons on Thursdays, Bubba's on Fridays. Just going to throw that out there. All right, last call of the day, last call of the week. It's from Just Win Johnny. I like that. He's in New York. He's calling about Carl Joseph and the fact that, well, he's a Joel Siegel client. I talked about that in great length on Thursday. He likes Joseph. He likes what he could do from the safety position, but he wants to know my thoughts on another safety that's going to be in the draft. Here's my man, Just Win Johnny in New York.
What's up, Q? This is Just Win Johnny calling in from New York. I just wanted to pick your brain about this. I know Carl Joseph has the same agent as 52 and Mr. Cooper, and I love Carl Joseph, don't get me wrong, and I liked the pick when we got it. That kid, he swings the hard hammer, that little guy. I mean, he packs a punch. And, you know, they didn't give him a chance early in the season. Gunther was messing with the system. You know, obviously he didn't have all the pieces he needed. But, you know, they just kind of pushed him aside, and then it fired him up. And you saw what we as Raider Nation know what he can do. But, you know, I think he's starting to prove it to Gruden that he is a grinder. But my question anyways is, would you want to get Thompson, the safety from Alabama? And I'm not saying with the early on picks, and you know how the draft goes, but because I do foresee a little bit of Mark Davis problems with signing Carl Joseph and his agent. So I just want to pick your brain. And One Nation, One Love, great show. Just Win Johnny, later.
All right, great stuff right there. Just Win Johnny's asking about Deontay Thompson from Alabama. Would I want him? Because he does foresee an issue with re-signing Carl Joseph because, well, he's a Joel Siegel client. And I know a lot of folks were on me tough about saying that. And my opinion that I don't think that Joel Siegel clients are going to go over very well with Mark Davis. I don't believe that. Until I see it, I'm not going to believe it. Now, Deontay Thompson, I liked a lot, and I know that he was projected to be a top 15 draft pick overall, and I know that a lot of folks were like, oh, you can get him in, you know, mid of the first round, which you probably can. But man, I'll tell you what, sometimes you're a prisoner of the moment and you just remember the last thing you saw from him. All I remember of him is getting toasted in that national championship game against Clemson. Clemson ate him up. They took his lunch money and just laughed at him. I don't know, man. I was really high on him. I like Alabama a lot. I like the guys that they put out in the league because, well, they're damn near professionals when they're in college. But Deontay Thompson was getting eaten alive by Clemson. Now, Clemson has a lot of young talent. Justin Ross, the wide receiver, number 8. I think he's number 8, either 8 or 9. Either way, he was making Thompson look silly. Absolutely silly. So I kind of, after that game, want to pass on him. But you know the combine, the underwear Olympics are going to come up. He's going to probably show out and he'll be like safety number 1 and everybody will be high on that on him again. I'm just not too sure. after that game of that national championship game, I'm just not sold on him being the dude. But great call, great question. Just win, Johnny. I appreciate that. Raider Nation, if you got some thoughts on that, you could always chime in as well. 707-654-4693. It's been a great week of podcasts, great week of conversation, great week of feedback on that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. Thank you to everybody who called. Most Known Unknown in Philly, WAP, Sean in Salt Lake City, Daniel in Waco, Just Win, Johnny in New York, and of course, Hillbilly Raider in West Virginia. And big shout out to my man Christopher Gabriel at CG Program on Twitter at 940 ESPN. Big ups to him for giving me that Derek Carr interview, and I hope you guys appreciated that. It's been a great week. Thank you so much, Raider Nation. Until Monday, as always, just win, baby.